Hello, welcome to Have Roots, Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltari and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Over the last year, I've been looking at Les Filles du Roi and taking each one of them, episode by episode. We're now on episode 107. We've got several hundred to go. There's actually over 700 Filles du Roi, so we'll be here for a while. And if you're interested, the previous ones I've done are on my website, haverootswilltravel.com. I have provided links for them. And I also have notes on who's upcoming, that sort of thing. And I also have a Facebook page where I post upcoming videos and things like that. I would definitely urge you to do that. I would love for you to subscribe and also click on the notifications alert so you get to know when I post new content. Our fille du roi of this episode, her name is Catherine Poitvin, and I just want to say she is this story is a continuation of episode number 106. For those of you who did not see it, Catherine Poitvin now comes into this picture, and so they are tied together. Now, Catherine Poitvin happens to be a viewer request, and she's also the great-grandmother of a genealogical colleague of mine, and so I'm pleased to be able to present this information for her as well. So let's get started and get to know Catherine a little bit better. So Catherine was born in Paris in 1641 in the parish of Saint-Nicolas-des-Champs. This is the church that you can see right there that she would have been baptized in. And it was built in the 15th century, and it is found in the 3rd arrondissement of Paris. And, you know, the 3rd arrondissement is found on the right bank of the River Seine. Remember, arrondissement means those circles. Paris is laid out in circles, and it is actually referred to as temple or temple. This sector dates back to the Middle Ages, and it is the second smallest of Paris's sections or arrondissements. Among notable facts about this sector is that it's here where you can find the oldest surviving private house in Paris, built in 1407. Can you imagine 1407? Imagine that that house stood when Catherine was a small child. I love to think of that, and I must one day see this house. There's also an ancient Jewish quarter, which dates back from the 13th century, and it is an important part of the Jewish history of Paris. So that is also something to note. Her parents' names are Guillaume Poitvin and Françoise Mecquery. So it does not say if her parents are alive or not, but she comes to New France on June 30th, 1669, traveling on Le Saint-Jean-Baptiste pour Québec. She has a dowry of £500. So either she was, inherited this or her family came from money. One never knows, but she did come with that amount. So she first meets Adrien Isabelle. He was born in 1631 in the region of Normandy, in Rue. I'm like having a trouble saying it. And in the county or not region, but département de Calvados. And that is where he is from. You can see that it is a very simple farming community. And it also, that is the church where Adrien would have been baptized as well, dating from about the 12th century. Adrien would arrive in New France, and he would become, an engagé, a hired hand. And we can see that he is listed as 28 years old, engagé, for the domestics of the Sire de la Chesnée. So that's what he's doing to kind of earn his keep. So let's see. So on October 10th, 1669, in Saint-Famé, on Ile d'Orléans, we do not know where, we don't have a marriage record, but we know they got married. Regular viewers of the channel know I keep coming back to Ile d'Orléans over and over. It's located on the St. Lawrence River, 3 miles east of downtown Quebec City. The island was one of the first parts of the province to be colonized by the French, and a large percentage of French Canadians can trace their ancestry to the early residents of this island. The island has been described as a microcosm of traditional Quebec and as the birthplace of Francophones in North America. Officials later changed the name to Île d'Orléans to honor the second son of King Francis I, Henri II, the Duke of Orléans. The island was also known as Grande-Île, Sainte-Marie, Saint-Laurent for certain periods in the 17th and 18th century. You can see, like by the pictures, how green the place is on the left hand. This is actually pictures that were given to me by friends of mine that had recently traveled. And then that other is like a somewhere in time moment where it's a cheese factory. So definitely something that is a step in time. And it is my first stop next year when I am visiting Quebec. So in L'Orléans, you can see it on the island. I also want to point out how it is subdivided into six different sections. So when you're doing your family research, please, please take note of where they are. It's not just in L'Orléans. It could be Saint-Famille, Saint-Jean, Saint-Pierre, Saint-Laurent, Saint-François, or Saint-Pétronille. One of those is going to be where your people lived. And will make it easier for you to identify it. Family grows. We have Adrian, who died in infancy. Jean-Pierre would marry Françoise Mitou and have 10 children, all of whom would make it to adulthood. Marc would marry Marguerite Memelet and have 12 children, 11 of whom would make it to adulthood. And Catherine would die at the young age of 6 years of age. Adrian passes away so suddenly that it's actually noted in his burial record. He is buried in what was then the St. Paul Cemetery, which would become the Cimetière de Saint-Laurent in Orléans, January 5th, 1676. So here she is, Catherine, a widow. Even though his life was not long, Adrian is remembered in Orléans on that famous monument, and Catherine is also listed with him. So that is a final testament. If you descend from that side of Catherine's history, that is absolutely something you have to visit. So in true Nouvelle France fashion, one man dies and another arrives. Who will be this man, as if we don't already know? So the man that she would eventually marry, his name is Jean Bourassa, and we saw him in episode 106. He was born 1634 in Bezoges, Montpellier. His parents were Jacques Bourassa and Françoise Fouchard. I go into great depth about it in episode 106. Have a look at that. And now let's find out when they got married. Remember, Jean would arrive in New France in 1657 aboard the ship Les Armes d'Amsterdam. In 1662, he would lease land. So on November 4th, 1676, Catherine and Jean, widow and widower, would marry, forming and combining their two families, and I'm sure gaining strength from each other. So, and they were married at Saint-Famille. I don't have a marriage record, but at least this is from the PRDH website, where you can get that information. So that is what confirms that they were married, and so they have a second chance at love. So by 1681, Jean Bourassa, 50, Catherine Poitvin, sa femme, his wife, 40, enfant François, 15, Pierre, 14, Jean, 11, Jean, 10, Marie, 9, Madeleine, 8, Catherine, 6, Marie-Anne, 1 gun, 3 goats, and 15 enfants en valeur. They are settled in Lauzon, and we talked about Lauzon in episode 106. This is the area where Catherine and Jean would make their lives. So Catherine and Jean would form their own family together. René, their firstborn, would die in infancy. Marianne would marry Pierre Bouchard and have 7 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Her second marriage to Louis Boisset produced no children. Jeanne would marry Louis Marchand and have 8 children, all of whom would make it to adulthood. François would marry Marguerite Jourdain and have 6 children, all of whom would make it to adulthood. In 1711, when Jean and Catherine had been married for 35 years, they would give their land to their son François, and it was noted that Catherine was crippled and blind and had been for some years. We do not have a death date for Catherine, but we do know that it's most likely between 1712 and 1718, when Jean passed away at the incredible age of 83. You'll note that on his burial record indicates 89. However, this is probably just a guess on their part, as we actually have Jean's baptism record that confirms his year of birth as 1634. So this is where they are buried. And this is a monument that was put up. I'm assuming it's a picture from Find a Grave. So I'm assuming that this is something they put up in Lauzon. And this is to honor the ancêtre. So I have yet to find, and please let me know if there's an association for les filles, the Bourassa family. I would have thought there would have been, given the fact that Robert Bourassa, who was once premier of Quebec, was such a key player. I looked and looked. So if I have not found it and it's there, please let me know if there's an association des familles Bourassa that I can post. Okay, so with that being said, let's have a look at some resources. So the resources I use, La Société des Filles du Roi is a genealogical membership site where you, if you are an ancestor, if your ancestor is a fille du roi, you can join, get a fabulous certificate. That's definitely something I would recommend. I am a member and also the membership chairperson. They have been around since 1994, so they're absolutely a very prestigious and very well-known organization. Quebec Genealogical Society is newer on the scene, but I love its fresh take, its webinars they have, and a lot of the resources. It's growing. It definitely is growing. Now, number 3 is Nos Origines. That's a free site. Fabulous website to join and to share with others. We have Généalogie Québec, which is an amazing website. And for me, it is Ancestry.com's version, or Quebec's version of Ancestry.com. I couldn't live without it. It's what I use all the time. Migration is a free website, but I do donate to their cause because it's just amazing. All of the information on Les Filles du Roi, Carignan Soldiers, it really is dedicated to that. And Les Filles du Roi Descendancy, Facebook group, wonderful people on there, very generous and kind souls. I would definitely recommend that you check that out. That we end episode number 107, Catherine Poitvin. She helped move that story along and expand not only the Isabelle legacy, but also the Bourassa legacy. At the end of her life at 1729, she would have had 52 descendants, of which my viewer and my genealogical colleague are the descendants of. So her contribution for 2 marriages was huge. And the fact that she is listed on the island, the Île d'Orléans, as a pioneer there, is just amazing. And so she was also a pioneer in Lauzon. So I think that her gift was truly remarkable. And it was very sad when I read that she was crippled and blind. And we don't often get to see that. I hope that her years with Jean were good and until the end, you know. So with that, we thank her for her contribution, for her sacrifice, for her stamina, and we are grateful that she existed. And with that, I bid you adieu and au revoir until episode 108.